Hello and welcome to Become a Competent Biblical Counselor. I'm Dr. Dave Jones, and today's episode is entitled, It's About Time. And the scripture we're going to use today is Proverbs 14:23, where it says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I'm reminded of a time when I first got involved with counseling. It was one of my very first sessions. I had a man call me on the phone and wanted to know if he could talk to me about some things in his life. And I said, sure. Well, folks, he talked and he talked. And every once in a while, I would grunt here and there and try to butt in and interrupt him. But he just wouldn't have it. He just kept right on talking. So keep in mind, too, that I have no idea why the man is even calling or what his problems are that he wants to talk about. But anyway, he just kept right on talking. So after 45 minutes of my listening and not getting anywhere with him, I had to really force myself into the conversation and told him that we need to reschedule because I had some other responsibilities I had to take care of. And then shortly thereafter, it could have been a week or two, this young woman, college student, called me, and she was having problems with her boyfriend. So we spoke for about a half an hour, and she was very happy with being able to talk about her problems, and I was able to listen and give her some encouragement. And it was a successful conversation, and I was kind of pleased with how it turned out. 45 minutes later, she calls me back. Now she has other issues she wants to talk about. Okay, I have the time. I really don't know how this counseling thing works, but maybe this is how it works. I'm supposed to just, whatever. So she talked for another half hour, and I spoke to her. We worked out some things, and it went fairly well. And so she hung up. An hour later, she calls back. She has some other things she wants to talk about. Anyway, to make a long story short, she called like this, this pattern, all day long, 13 times. She called me, little things to do and suggest and clarify and what have you. The point I'm trying to make, this is something I learned. You have to create the groundwork, the rules, the way things are going to work in the very first session. You see, the Bible demands action, demands change, demands effort. We were getting nowhere in these two examples with respect to creating action steps, changing steps, or getting anything done whatsoever. So that's because I did not control the very first session. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The first section is particularly important. Basic trends are set here, and initial attitudes and decisions, as well as relationships, are formed by both the counselor and your counseling. The notes that you'll take in the first session and perhaps in the next usually will vary from those that follow. They will much more be copious, containing mainly, number one, detailed factual data, number two, some initial tentative hunches or conclusions that you might have, three, a full agenda of areas yet to be explored based upon what you heard, and fourth, many quotations. You're going to have many things in your mind that you've heard the counselee say, and you're going to be writing those down. So a look at such notes perhaps best explains much of what should happen during the session. Beyond gathering such data, you will want to accomplish several things. The first, you will want to establish your leadership in the counseling context and elicit commitments from the counselee. You're the one that's in charge. Take a charge. This person came to you assuming that you are a professional, even though you're not, and you don't talk about being a professional or whatever. You're just an interested person who wants to help them be more in the image of Jesus Christ. Number two, you will want to center your counseling upon Jesus Christ and His Word from the outset. This is not about you. And it will be to the person who says, this is what I think, and this is what I think you should do. No, the Bible is a determination of that. I had a man once tell me, he said, I'm not so sure that I agree with what you're telling me. I said, well, wait a minute. I'm not telling you anything. This is what the Bible says right here in this verse. It says this. Read this verse. this is not me. This is not the gospel according to Dr. Dave Jones. This is what the Bible says. You constantly have to stand behind that authority. And then the third one, you will want to determine if possible whether your counselor is a Christian. If there is serious doubt, you will want to present the gospel, or you want to set up conditions that will lead to such a presentation as soon as possible. Number four, you will want to establish regular Bible reading and prayer if it does not exist already. And usually it does not exist, so set that up as well. Five, you will want to give hope and encouragement. Much has been said already about this and other podcasts that we've had, but give examples of other counselings that you've had that have had similar situations and how they have overcome their problems. And a lot of times people will then say, well, if other people have gotten through this, I can too. So examples are very, very important. The sixth step, you will want to solve some initial problems. These will often be small but important. Big changes in attitude can arrive from small changes in action. Even small efforts can reverse trends and set new patterns. All of your first sessions, without fail, should include the assignment of homework, no matter how small the assignment may be. A warring husband and wife, for instance, can be given the assignment to spend the week doing all they can for one another. Each can keep a record of all of the kindly efforts that he or she has noticed, and also express appreciation whenever something is done. If nothing else, these first attempts at expressing love concretely can reverse a past of sinful trends. You will want to focus on solutions to some problems. The presentation issue might be they might have 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 problems that they think that they have. Don't overload your counselee with answering all of those at the same time. You cannot do it, and they cannot absorb it. Number 8, you will want to assign homework designed to bring early success and relief growing out of biblical action. Early successes always create future successes. Number 9, you will want to work on enlisting whatever help is possible and necessary from others, and get procedures underway for encouraging other involved parties to come. You see, the counseling situation does not stop in the first session. Hopefully, there might be some other people in the counselee's life that really want to help as well. I remember a time where a counselee woman was so distraught that she attempted suicide, and her husband called me on the phone, and he says, "My wife is very, very upset. She's really in a bad way, and she wants to kill herself." And I said, "Where is she?" And he says, "Well, she's in the kitchen. She's sitting on the floor in curled up fetal position in the corner." And I said, "Put your phone on speaker and let's talk. Let me talk to her." I asked the woman, had she been taking any medication? Had she overdosed on anything? She said, "No." I said, "Can we continue this conversation with your husband, listening to what we're saying?" She says, "Yes." So at that point in time, it was incumbent upon me not only to continue talking to the wife, but to continue talking with the husband and give him some help and some encouragement of what he should do at that point in time. This was not a very, very serious situation at all. She was very cognizant of what she was doing. She was very despondent. She just needed some hope. And the thing that I had her husband do was, "Please get her up, and I want you to clean her off and get her dressed appropriately. And I want you to take her either for a walk or take her for a ride in the car and with some nice music on and change her environment." And something as simple as that certainly helped a great deal. And number 10, you will want to determine what the main problem is and work on that as soon as possible. Now, having done some or all of these exercises that I just gave you, creates an opportunity for the counselor to realize this person, this counselor, is serious. This counselor has their act together with respect to listening to me, is serious about helping me, is going to walk in the trenches with me, is going to get involved with my side of the fence, and is really serious about helping me. I better be too. Your task in proportioning the session among these purposes is difficult, since you may find that in order to do some, you must neglect others. Priorities in each case must rule. If, for instance, hope is the most vital need, perhaps one half of the session or more must be devoted to that. The tendency for inexperienced counselors will be to spend the entire time in data gathering. This often is a serious mistake that is easy to fall into. Yet the most comfortable way for you to become acquainted in the first session is to be relatively passive, spending most of your time asking questions and listening to the counselee's story. Yet often that can be the least productive thing to do, when what is needed is hope. Telling the story again will not do. Counselors must not fall into the temptation to retreat into data gathering alone. And yet, sometimes the counselor will find it necessary to tell the counselee that there is much yet to be done, even explaining what he would like to have done had there been more time. Laying out the agenda for the next session in this way is often the best way to encourage the counselee to return. Also, it encourages the counselee to see that there is much more to be done and encourages the counselee to see that the counselor has a plan and a program, that you move thoroughly, not rushing things through in order to get them done, and that you care enough to explain what you are doing, when, and why. At this point, it's important to try to see life from the counselee's point of view. They've come to you scared, concerned, given up, desperate, and the main thing that they want is hope. Hope that there can be an answer. Hope that other people have gone through this as well. I'm not the only one going through this. And a realization that if they can go through it and be successful, then I can too. And especially if the example that you're giving to the counselee with respect to past successes with other people, how important it was to involve Jesus Christ, prayer, and the Bible, the more attentive they will be in what you have to say and helping them with this problem. It's all about time. Don't waste your time. You don't have that much time, and you don't need to give them a lot of time. And perhaps the best thing to consider and stick to is make sure in the first session and every session after, your time is an hour. The more time you spend with your counselee, the more information you're going to give them, and the more confused they're going to be. A lot of times, forgetting the very important things that you've discussed because there have been so many other things surrounding what's important in this session. Be careful with your time and use it to the glory of God in helping this person overcome what they are struggling with. So it is all about time, and it's about time for us to end this episode. Thanks for listening, and use your time wisely. Have a good day.